thought-provoking and hopefully helpful as you try to read the news and listen more, process what the worldview is that you're reading and interact with that biblically. There are two pages for the handout today. The article is just a little bit longer, so make sure you have two different sheets. If you don't, well, that's your own problem. You can fix it, though. Boy, I'm full of grace and kindness this morning, huh? Hopefully things change quickly. Joel, anything that we should state before we get started?
Maybe before we start, just we could clarify what TikTok is or does.
Okay.
That's also a good way to start. All right, let's start with prayer. Father, we give you thanks for giving us a new day. Thank you that we can meet together to encourage each other and to grow together, to be in your presence in a special way, hearing your word, praying to you. We pray that you would be active in this time and place, making this a fruitful time, not just looking at human events and human wisdom, but using your word and being guided by your spirit to understand and respond to these things well in a way that gives you honor and is edifying to your church and fruitful in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So is there anyone here more qualified than Francis or me to give a quick overview of what TikTok is? What are we talking about? Just so that we're all clear before we start talking about it and reading about it.
You don't have TikTok on your phone?
I don't.
No.
Go ahead, Calvin.
So TikTok is a video sharing social media. I don't have it, but I know a bit about it. And the key difference between something like YouTube where they're shorter videos and you're not really picking out what you want to watch next. It's sort of based on how long you watch the video or which video you liked or commented on. It kind of gives you new videos that they think that you might like. And after doing hundreds or thousands of these videos, it starts really keying into exactly what it wants to feed you, sort of in a way that you're not exactly into controlling one particular video. It's more about many, many series of videos you think you might like.
All right, thank you. Anyone have anything to add or clarify beyond that definition or description of TikTok? Okay. So that's definitely one aspect of the article. So he said it's owned by the Chinese government or by a company called ByteDance that we're going to hear about that's very closely tied to the Chinese government.
Well, we're going to get to that under analyze, so yep, hold on to that one. Ed, did you want to say something to the...
I was just going to say that the quality of the media there is like garbage.
Yeah.
It's nothing valuable information or anything like that. It's just short, entertaining, generally useless content.
So we're going to come back to that under analyze too, I think, right? Well, maybe...
Yeah. All right, so when we're talking about TikTok, we're talking about a video sharing app that focuses on short videos that are generally entertaining or supposedly informational, and the app decides what you're going to watch rather than you. And it's closely tied to China. All right, so I think with that, we can start reading. Shall I begin?
Sure, why don't you?
Why the House voted to ban TikTok and what could come next? Now, just for clarification, when we say House with a capital H, what do we mean?
Some government thing. Not the Senate.
The House of Representatives. So this, is it law now? If the House passes it?
Probably will be.
What's got to happen still? Right, got to go through Senate to be approved there before it could become law. So why the House voted to ban TikTok and what could come next. The article came out around March 13. We've got Deirdre Walsh, Bobby Allen, and Claudia Grisalis contributing all to the article. The House voted overwhelmingly Wednesday to approve a bipartisan bill that would require ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, to sell the social media app or face a ban on all U.S. devices. The vote was 352 to 65. The legislation's fate is unclear in the Senate. The two top lawmakers on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senators Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, and Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, released a joint statement praising the House bill and urging Senate action, but the timeline is unclear. Several lawmakers have suggested the Senate should hold hearings on the legislation before moving forward. Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin, who chairs the House Select Committee on China and is the lead GOP sponsor of the bipartisan bill, maintains that the bill does not amount to a ban of the video sharing app. What we're after is, it's not a ban, it's a forced separation, Gallagher told NPR. The TikTok user experience can continue and improve, so long as ByteDance doesn't own the company. In practice, however, the bill would ban TikTok in the United States. Both the company and China, historically, have refused to consider divestiture. TikTok has said that the banning of a social media platform would amount to a violation of the free speech rights of millions of Americans. Gallagher says classified and unclassified national security assessments show that the app is a threat to user privacy and that it's been used to target journalists and interfere in elections. Top officials from intelligence and national security agencies conducted a classified briefing on their analysis for all House members on Tuesday. Classified information is not made public, in part because it deals with matters of national security. However, officials have not offered public evidence of the Chinese Communist Party using the app for surveillance or propaganda purposes, though experts say it is theoretically possible that Beijing could use TikTok to push its agenda. FBI Director Christopher Wray has also publicly testified about his concerns about the app, including during an appearance last week at a Senate hearing on worldwide threats to U.S. security. In that testimony, Wray told members of the Senate Intelligence Committee that the Chinese government could use the app to control software on millions of devices, among other concerns. "We're not sure that we would see many of the outward signs of it happening if it was happening," Wray said. The bipartisan measure was unanimously approved last week by the House Energy and Commerce Committee. You want to take over there?
Sure. Lobbying campaign flooded offices on Capitol Hill with calls. Gallagher says the lobbying campaign that TikTok launched, with push notices using location information to connect users by phone to their members of Congress, proves why the bill is needed. You had member offices being deluged with calls, you know, teenagers crying and one threatening suicide and one impersonating one of my colleague's sons, he said. That, to me, demonstrates how the platform could be weaponized in the future. The bipartisan bill, dubbed the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, blocks any app store or web hosting services in the U.S. for ByteDance-controlled applications, including TikTok, unless the app severs ties to ByteDance, under a designation that it's subject to the control of a foreign adversary. The bill gives ByteDance up to 6 months to divest, and if it doesn't do that, it would no longer be available in app stores in the U.S. The bill also sets up a process for the president to address any future threats from any foreign-owned apps if they are deemed a national security risk. It also creates a system for users to download their own data and switch to an alternate platform. Opponents cite freedom of speech and the economic impact of a ban. At 27 years old, Florida Democratic Representative Maxwell Frost is the youngest member of Congress, and he opposes the bill. "I think that is a violation of people's First Amendment rights," he said. "TikTok is a place for people to express ideas. I have many small businesses in my district and content creators in my district, and I think it's going to drastically impact them too." He and other opponents say the bill is being rushed through and that many lawmakers don't grasp the impact it could have. TikTok declined an interview with NPR. In a statement, a spokesperson said, "The government is attempting to strip 170 million Americans of their constitutional right to free expression. This will damage millions of businesses, deny artists an audience, and destroy the livelihoods of countless creators across the country. Advocacy groups, including the American Civil Liberties Union, have called the bill censorship plain and simple, arguing that jeopardizing access to the platform jeopardizes access to free expression. Illinois Democrat Raja Krishnamurthy is the ranking Democrat on the House Select Committee on China and helped write the bill. He pushed back on the company's argument, telling NPR, "There is no First Amendment right to espionage. There is no First Amendment right to harm our national security." The company stresses that it has established a data firewall by partnering with Austin-based software company Oracle. Dubbed Project Texas, the new system routes all U.S. user traffic to Oracle, which now also controls the servers storing Americans' TikTok data. Still, the plan has not received the blessing from officials in Washington, who have said it falls short of a full breakup with ByteDance. But Krishnamurthy says he and other lawmakers reviewed the efforts and says the company's claims about its safeguards were false. Whether it was TikTok saying that, oh, American user data is not going to be accessible to anyone in China, again, wrong. That was also proven false. And then they said that American user data is not going to be used to target anybody again. Wrong. That was false. Even opponents of the bill expected it to easily clear the House. So TikTok is focused on blocking action in the Senate. According to a source familiar with the effort, CEO Xuzi Chu was in Washington this week and on Capitol Hill to discuss the bill with lawmakers. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley backs the House bill. He says he's frustrated that Congress has failed to move tech legislation and argues TikTok is different from other apps. The really only reason to ban it is a major national security concern, and that makes it very different from Google and Meta and the others who do all kinds of bad stuff, but they're not effective subsidiaries of a hostile foreign government. Presidential campaign politics could impact path for bill. Former President Donald Trump, the presumptive GOP presidential nominee, proposed a ban in 2020 when he was in the White House, but he does not support the House bill. When he served as president, he vowed to ban the social media app. Trump explained his new opposition in an interview with CNBC on Monday, saying that despite the possible security risk, he opposed a ban because it meant users would move to another platform that he considered more dangerous. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok, but the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger, and I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media, he said. President Biden's campaign posts regularly on TikTok, but the White House has said if a bill is sent to his desk, he'll sign it. If a law is enacted, the fight might not end there. TikTok has mounted legal challenges against other efforts to ban the app, and courts have sided with its argument that blocking TikTok violators users' First Amendment rights.
All right, so quick survey. What's the basic idea of the article? Okay, good. So that kind of summarizes the two sides pretty well. That on the one side, it's a platform that people use to express ideas, create content, share their opinions, exercise free speech, be entertained, and those are things that people generally have a right to do. And on the other hand, there are national security risks tied to it. So how do we balance those things? All right, any other quick kind of the who, what, where, when, why, how type questions, the big picture before we observe more of the details? So the bill in the House is designed to sever this app from any Chinese influence so that no one in China can see user data that comes from this app or use the app to control other aspects of people's personal devices and so on. Why are they calling it a ban if it's if the goal isn't actually to stop TikTok from existing, but just to sever its ties with China? Right. ByteDance and the Chinese government have said, we're not going to sell this app or cut our control of this app. So if they refuse to do that, then it would become a ban, even though that's not necessarily the intent.
I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. If we're discussing this article as we are today, the article's on a specific issue. It's not exactly what's the content of TikTok and the value of it per se. It's more the potential of how it's used used by the Chinese government, who owns it, and what they could do with that. So that's a little bit more of a focused discussion here again this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's make some observations. Do we see, well, first of all, any comments about who wrote the article or the apparent reason for the article being written? Any comments about the sources that were used to write the article?
I think she's the representative for the ByteDance.
Yes. Yes. Zhu Zichu is the CEO of TikTok or of ByteDance, so would be Chinese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a variety of sources of information here. Mostly, it's quotes from lawmakers, right? Some on one side, some on another. And then, as you observed, former President Trump. So that's a lot of the sources here, is just interviews with lawmakers. Do we see any leaning or bias in the article? Is there loaded language that seems designed to influence us one way or another? Obviously, some of the people quoted have strong opinions that lean one way or another. Does the article itself seem to push us any direction? Mm-hmm. What about in the first line where it says, not just the House voted to approve, but the House voted overwhelmingly to approve? Does that adjective, or is adverb, do anything to our reading of this, or that it doesn't just say a bill, but a bipartisan bill? Yeah. So those are terms that could be misused but seem fair in this. Yeah.
I guess one of the wonders I've asked in the 1, 2, 3, 4, probably the fifth paragraph down, classified information is not made public because it deals with matters of national security. However, officials have not offered public evidence of the Chinese Communist Party. I wonder if there's a bit of a nudge or like just some skepticism of, is there really anything behind this? That kind of raised a little red flag to me in terms of the author's, not a hard push, but it just raised a question mark in my mind.
Yeah, I noticed that too. They've not offered evidence, and then it is theoretically possible Beijing could do this. The end of the next paragraph, the Chinese government could use the app to do this or that. So there's lots of speculative language there. Yeah.
Or any other country, for that matter, not only China,
but all the other countries. So towards the bottom, it uses the word adversary a couple of times. Neither of those are in quotes from senators. They're from Congress people. So under a designation, to the control of a foreign adversary, it mentions, and then above that, protecting, I guess one is in the name of the bill, protecting Americans from former adversary-controlled application, Foreign Adversary-Controlled Applications Act. It's just worth noting, without analyzing here, that China is being called an adversary. That seems to be consistently asserted throughout the article. So we just want to note that at this point. That's a loaded word. It could be an accurate one, but it's loaded, so it's worth noting. Do we see any direct or implied worldview questions here? Particularly, like, what are some of the goods that they're trying to protect, or some of the evils that they're trying to avoid? Right, that's often where the worldview questions come up. Right? Okay, so the ability to voice your opinion without limitation or fear or restriction. Freedom of speech is held up as a good here. Okay, good. So that's also held up as a good here. The user privacy, that other people and other governments shouldn't be able to use our data, but also user choice. I should be able to use to choose what apps I use and how I express myself. That's held up. Those are held up as goods.
I think even the role of government in some ways held up as a good. Their job is to protect the country. At least that's part of the article. And so there's a good there of the government's role is to curb sin. So they're, even though they don't call it sin, but trouble bad. That's a worldview comment, if you will, and the government has a place in protecting citizens.
Mm-hmm. So then what are any either directly identified or directly identified evils, problems, or implied problems or evils in the that we see here? Okay. So the fact that the Chinese government through ByteDance has access, has influence, is seen as an evil, a danger. Right, so there's sort of two potential evils that we're trying to figure out. How can we avoid both of them? One we want to avoid is restriction of free speech, restriction of people's choice for how they communicate and do their business and so on. We don't want to restrict that. So that would be an evil to avoid. And on the other side, interference and damage that the Chinese government could have over our country. Mm-hmm. Any proposed solutions or salvations that they offer for this? Yeah, and they give an example of that. How is that done? I mean, China's agenda right now is America needs to not ban TikTok. So what have they done that's been very effective? Yeah, so just to kind of observe what it is they're talking about, like 180 million Americans, suddenly their phone buzzes and they look at it and it says, the American government is trying to take away your freedom. Call your senator today. Here's the number, right? If they can do that about a TikTok ban, what else could they do that for, right? They could send those same notifications telling people, misleading the public with... you know, when one thing is really happening, they call it something else. They urge action in response to this for people who have limited information. Also, because the app controls what you're going to see, it can influence what you're going to believe, right? What you think is happening in the world. All of those things seem like legitimate risks. And the article mentions that the app has been used to target journalists and interfere in elections. So while there is language of kind of the theoretical, this could happen and so on, we know already that there's potential, that there's more than potential, that there's actual risk with this app.
Can you just help this guy out here? Americans, are there about 350 million Americans?
Roughly.
Roughly. So it's more than half.
You know, yeah.
Interesting.
So as we think about that question again, what solutions or salvations are proposed? Basically, legislation.
Right.
Right. That's our only protection from this threat, that the government does something to, on the one hand, either, you know, get China's fingers out of it, or on the other hand, protect our free speech, right? It's all about government action. That's our salvation, one way or another here.
There was a potential firewall, like a middle company as well, that was at least TikTok's partial solution, if you will,
mm-hmm.
salvation. The company in Texas that they are using to store the data.
What do they identify as causes for the current situation? If we think about cause and effect, like what's brought us to this point? Are they connecting any dots? Mm-hmm. So in case you couldn't hear Ed, he was talking about some of the history of this, connecting the dots would go back to prior examples of election interference or influence, but also other national security concerns that the government has been raising for a while. and then we have also kind of talked about what do they identify as likely effects or outcomes. On the one hand, if this app is not severed from China, risks there, but on the other hand, potential outcomes if it is loss of business for certain types of content creators or marketing and stuff like that.
Another, I don't know if this is exactly cause and effect, but one of the fellows quoted laments that legislation surrounding social media is just lagging behind, and it's advanced so quickly that the lawmakers haven't really been able to think through what's good, what's bad, how do we filter anything, if at all.
All right. So Francis and I hadn't discussed whether we wanted to split into groups again or do the whole article as a full group. But we wanted to make sure that we get time for getting to the respond part, because that's generally been significantly abbreviated.
You want to just pull rank and decide?
Sure. All right. So let's do the analysis as a big group, but we would really like to get thoughts from as many people as possible here, if we can. So first, do we see anything in this article that we can affirm or be thankful for? Are there helpful things we can learn or grow from? Okay, good. So something that we can be grateful for, in case you couldn't hear Karen, is that we do have a country where we have a lot of different voices, from the 27-year-old senator to some of the people who are high up in the security committees and stuff like that. Everybody can have a voice and share it and have some influence over what's going on, and that the article presents those perspectives. We can be glad for that. Right, that's the hard side of free speech is that people we disagree with, or people even who are harmful, can have that same right. Gingy? Yeah, thank you. So again, if you couldn't hear Gingy, she's expressing gratitude that this is being addressed in a bipartisan way, that it both major parties are taking it seriously, and in a sense, the government's working like it's designed to, rather than the way it so commonly does. So that's something to be thankful for here. Personally, I'm thankful too. Like, I hear about TikTok here and there. I'm not interested in it at all. I know nothing about it. I'm glad that somebody else is paying attention and realized, hey, China could do bad things with this, right? I'm glad that there are, in a sense, watchmen on the walls who are paying attention to stuff so that I don't have to. So that's something to be thankful for. Yeah, well, there's a law that's passed the first house in, or passed the house in the government, so there is action that's happening. All right, anything else that we can affirm? What about the concerns of the 27-year-old from Florida? I mean, can we say that yes, those are legitimate things that he's fighting for also? That group has something worth saying?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to argue. We, as a country, right, we support freedom of expression, keeping businesses and individuals employed. Those are things we want to pay attention to when legislation is debated.
Mm-hmm. All right, is there anything important that seems to be missing? Cultural or historical context, alternative perspectives? As I read it, one thing that to me felt like it wasn't entirely clear was what is the connection between the Chinese government and TikTok. It's implied, and they mentioned the company ByteDance, but those dots didn't seem really connected. Like, you know, how does Beijing have influence here? Karen? Okay, good. So the other apps and how they're permitted or banned in other countries would be relevant information that isn't here. I do think that TikTok, as Americans use it, doesn't exist for Chinese people. They don't want their own people using it, which is should be a red flag. They also don't let their own people use Facebook. They have Weibo, I think, which is also controlled by the Chinese government.
I think another thing that the whole tension with China, Beijing, and Taiwan, in my mind, looms large in the future. That's a historical context, and that's something that I think is likely behind this. And another thing that's in a way missing, I don't think they can say a lot more, but why was the vote so high? What information do they have that both sides are saying this is a real problem? So there seems to be more there which for security, I think we can't hear, but how big is that Chinese adversary question? I looked on the FBI site yesterday just to look a little bit, and it speaks very similarly. So there's just more there that we may need to understand to see why this could be a very real threat.
Okay, good. That's a good observation, the constitutional right of ownership of business and so on. Where's that discussion? It should be there. You know, does the government have a right to say, you can't own this company, you must sell it to a US-based company? Very helpful, thank you. So again, if you couldn't hear, Matt's concern is the bill isn't just about TikTok, although that's kind of the main target right now. It would also apply to other companies that would have some similar characteristics, maybe companies that don't even exist yet, but could come into being, and what it would be worth exploring more, what effects would this legislation have in other circumstances that might be unintended or unknown now, or might be kind of purposely slipped into this bill that could have ramifications we don't know till later. Right. All right. In terms of the worldview presented by the article versus what a Christian worldview would say, I think the problems were decently identified. How about the solution provided by the article, which from both sides is just government protection of rights or government protection against foreign interference? Any response to those? The presentation of those as kind of our salvations in this situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So that idea of the government is the one who protects us from everything, protects us from ideas that might be harmful, protects us from apps that might be harmful, that's the government's role, maybe is something to be a little bit wary of, because the more power we give to the government to control things in a sinful world, the more they can do with that power. All right, let's move to the respond part. So something that we talked about before in the introductory weeks of this course, but haven't talked about much since then, is if there is some kind of evil or harm presented in this article, does it point to anything that I should repent of myself? Have I contributed to this evil in any way? Or even if I haven't contributed exactly or directly, do I have similar root evils in my heart, even if they're not shown externally in the same way? So this takes a little more abstract thinking and introspection. One thing that comes to mind for me, just as an example, is I think of what's up with these 180 million people who carelessly use this app, knowing and not caring that the Chinese government can see what they're doing and access their phones and feed them false information. And right, I could kind of get on a bit of a negative train of thought there, pointing the finger elsewhere, saying these people are the problem. But do I ever use apps that may have nefarious purposes with my data or may be influencing me? Do I use other apps without thinking about it that could be causing harm to me, to my neighbor, to my country? So that kind of careless or thoughtless use of one app, maybe I'm not doing that one, but am I doing a similar thing with others in a way that's potentially causing harm?
It's only on one side of the debate, the free speech, but I find my heart often wanting free speech myself, but not wanting others to have it. You have no right to differ with me or to post that kind of thing, but I want that right myself. That's a similar a conviction of, maybe I should repent of that, banning others, if you will, because they differ with me, rather than that angel of the Lord, whose side are we on?
Thank you. Does anyone else have any thoughts along those lines? Kind of anything that we need to look inside and question our own life before we are to point any fingers at anyone else? Katie. Okay, so instead of pointing the finger at all these TikTok users who believed when the app told them to contact their senators and so on and oppose this bill, rather than pointing the finger there quickly, looking at ourselves, are we quick? Am I quick to take one perspective, not seek better information and just act on it or share it without knowing better? Without taking the time to know better.
So, we're past our time. Some of you have kids in Sunday school, and their teachers can't dismiss them until we dismiss you. So we're going to split our dismissal. If you've got kids in Sunday school or nursery, now'd be a good time to go get them or leave the teachers. And if you don't, you can stick around for a little longer for our closing little bit of discussion. Thank you for caring for your Sunday school teachers. My wife told me that this morning, like, oh, yeah, I never think about that, so, yeah.
I think we have that problem ever in our other countries. We really don't have to look at another country in order to know what's right or what's wrong. We can look in our own country, and there's a lot of stuff in our own country. Sweep off your own back porch before you talk about and before you go to somebody else's back porch.
Yeah, thank you. So Rebecca's mentioning, the idea of taking the log out of your own eye before you look at the speck in anyone else's. We've got a lot of problems in our country. We don't need to be focused entirely on the problems with other countries. Mm-hmm. But what if we end with one more question and then prayer? How can this article help us love and serve God more effectively and love and serve our neighbors more effectively? Is there anything practical to take from this to guide us?
Pray.
Yeah, pray. Good. Gingy? Thank you. So Gingy's mentioning just having more proactive conversations as parents with our kids, with people around us, and as Christians about how we're using social media, being proactive so that we're not kind of playing catch up and responding all the time, but that we're being thoughtful and purposeful. Benny?
Is it okay if I ask one question that's slightly different, but I think it's brief?
Mm-hmm. In the sense of, like, should Christians be using TikTok to kind of be specific?
I think one verse that comes to mind is just the time is short, so make the best use of the time. I can't remember the Thessalonians, I believe. Just to put that question back of what's the best use of your time in terms of you have 80 years max, the Lord is coming soon. Another question of just if our chief end is to honor the Lord, how does this match up with that? It doesn't ban everything, but I think it cleanses a lot. I don't know what you would say.
Yeah, I think it's a worthwhile question, and unfortunately we're out of time. The article wasn't focused so much on, you know, should we be using social media in general or how does it affect us, but that's a good question, and definitely one that needs... That all of us should be thinking purposefully and scripturally about. All right, well, let's wrap up with prayer again. Father, thank you that you guide us by your word, that you're here in your spirit, and we pray that you would guide our minds and hearts and help us to respond thoughtfully and help us to engage well in how we talk with our neighbors, how we talk with other Christians, how we use technology and social media, so that all of our decisions would be guided by your word and with the goal of honoring you and being a blessing to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.